Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the technically savvy Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing well. I finally got my phone to work how I wanted it to work. It wasn't charging earlier and pretty much was charging when it felt like it, and it's been having that problem for a while. But finally got it to charge, meaning we can do a show where we're both talking and me not texting you, telling you my thoughts on the match. So we do have that going for us, which is good. It would have made a very strange ramble, to be perfectly honest. But have a jam-packed, exciting show to talk about today. First topic we're going to be talking about, Adrian Peterson. Looking like he might be moving on from Minnesota, as he is due a lot of money in Minnesota. But Rob Demosky, writer for ESPN, covered the Packers for ESPN, wrote an article talking about the possibility of him coming to Green Bay and why it could be a fit for a few reasons. One of them is Brett Favre revenge. So that was written. And also Ben Gosling from ESPN wrote an article talking about some possible destinations for Adrian Peterson. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and the possibility of Adrian Peterson maybe showing up in Green Bay. Former NFL general manager and current NFL network analyst Charlie Cassie said that Patriots backup Jimmy Garoppolo is a better option than any quarterback in the 2017 draft, something fun to discuss. And Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, for whatever reason, they're in conversation and talk and negotiations and talk and whatever about possibly fighting each other. So talk about if that's a fight that we would pay to watch. So, Troy, as I said, very exciting show to talk about tonight. So before we do dive into that, though, quickly, how are things out in Western Pennsylvania tonight?
Well, things are great. Kind of a slow sports day, I guess, out in Western PA. I know I put a Twitter poll out because they're talking about the wide receiver situation in Pittsburgh, and if they're going to address it this offseason. I know it's for a different show, but I did put a Twitter poll out on our RLSN Steelers, if the Steelers should pursue a wide receiver in free agency, because that was the big talk out here in Western PA with Antonio Brown and everything else behind him in Pittsburgh. So that was the big story out here. And then, of course, a little bit of baseball talk, the Pirates talk with Jung-Ho Kang and his upcoming trial with his three DUIs. That was a big topic of discussion out here today. But we got a great show. Going to talk a little bit about the NFL. Going to talk a little bit about UFC boxing and kind of a crossover type event. But we'll get right to it, Evan. This Adrian Peterson rumor, I like it. I like the rumor. I know that Peterson is a little bit older for a running back. He's got a lot of mileage on his legs. But I think this guy can play. This guy is a beast of an athlete. He's like, to me, not a normal human being. I mean, what was it after knee surgery back in 7 months, full speed? I mean, that's just unheard of. I mean, I had reconstructive knee surgery, Evan, and I've told you and you've heard me talk about it many times. It took me about 2 years to get back. Now, I know I had my knee surgery in a different era because I'm a little bit older and I have the scars the way they used to do it. I know technology has improved, but still, it's the same type procedure. And as far as healing and getting back in shape and being able to cut and move with confidence, it was a good 2 years before my knee, I felt, was 100%. Adrian Peterson is just a beast of an athlete, Evan, and takes great care of his body in the off season to keep himself ready for football. Now, there's nothing you can do about a knee injury. It doesn't matter how hard you train. It's one of those things that's just going to happen if it's going to happen. But I like the rumor. So let's talk about whether this rumor can happen. And if it does, what it could mean for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, well, here's the reason why Adrian Peterson might be a free agent. He's due a lot of money. he is due a $6 million roster bonus on the third day of a league year, March 11th. If the Vikings pay that, they'll basically be committing $18 million in 2017 to a 32-year-old running back who is a former shell of himself, who had a down year due to injury and just couldn't stay healthy in 2016. He couldn't stay healthy. So that's why the Vikings, if they cannot work out a deal, may let him go. Well, Rob Domofsky came out and had an article about the possibility of the Packers maybe kicking the tires down and bringing him into Green Bay. Basically, you know, you have the Vikings practically always picking up former Packers, Darren Sharper, Ryan Longwell, Robert Ferguson, Greg Jennings, Desmond Bishop, and then not directly from Green Bay to Minnesota. Then you had them, the Vikings signing Brett Favre. So he's, and then they also put a claim in on Brandon Bostic. So he's saying that, you know, Packers could bring him in and pretty much kind of stick it and get even with Minnesota, especially for the fact that the Super Bowl this coming season will be in the Vikings' new home stadium. So kind of would be a double, you know, a double-edged sword against Viking fans that not only does Adrian Peterson finally win a Super Bowl, but he's winning a Super Bowl wearing a Packer uniform in their own stadium. And the Packers do need some help at running back. Right now, only Ty Montgomery is the only running back in the on the roster right now, but there is the possibility that Eddie Lacy could come back for a short 1 year to 2 year contract. So that is the possibility, but they could still use another running back too. Packers have about $40 million in salary cap space, but honestly, I don't want the Packers to do this. There's no reason to. Adrian Peterson is not the Adrian Peterson from, let's say, 5 years ago. Since he had that big year coming off the torn ACL, he's gone downhill since. And he's just not worked to Vegas. He has some off-the-field past that I'm not a huge fan of, such as child abuse allegations. And I just find him kind of as a shady character. So I wouldn't necessarily want him in Green Bay. Like, I wouldn't be pissed off at this if they signed him, but I wouldn't be overly happy if they signed him either, because they don't need Adrian Peterson. They got to focus on, you know, filling pieces on the defense. And at running back, you don't need to bring in Adrian Peterson as a successful running game. You got Ty Montgomery. You can bring back Eddie Lacy. A lot of really good running backs in the draft this year. A lot of options out there, and they don't have to – so they can, quote, stick it to the Vikings. They don't have to bring Adrian Peterson. So I hope Green Bay passes if Peterson becomes a free agent. I hope Thompson doesn't even look that way. And the reason, Troy, it's a ridiculous discussion is the fact that this is the anti-Thompson. Other than Julius Peppers and Charles Woodson, Thompson doesn't tend to take risks on players going in, you know, into the 30s. He just doesn't. That's not his style. And Woodson, I believe, was really early 30s when he signed with Green Bay. So I don't see it happening, and I hope it doesn't happen. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, he's done the Julius, like you said, he's done Julius Peppers, he's done Charles Woodson. When he does go on free agency, it seems to be a veteran guy like that. He doesn't really go after many free agents, Evan. We know that. It's not a Ted Thompson way. Like you said, they don't need to get in the bidding war for Adrian Peterson. I don't think it would be a bad thing if he would agree to 1 year, just 1 year, and see what can go on. Because right now we are uncertain at running back. You got Ty Montgomery, but you looked at the injuries to running back. I'm not sure what Eddie Lacy is going to get on the free agent market. He had the injury this past year, but he may get some sniffs. I mean, he's a big, powerful running back, and it's no guarantee that Eddie Lacy will be back in Green Bay. But again, who knows in the NFL, Evan? You don't know what's going to go on out there. There may be a team that wants to overpay for Eddie Lacy because they think they see something in a big, powerful back. We don't know. I'd love for Packers to bring Eddie Lacy back because I think he can be to this offense not only next year, but I think in the future. I mean, Eddie Lacy has shown how he can change the tide of a game. I wouldn't like I said, I wouldn't be mad if they went out and got Peterson if the price was right, but not to be the featured back. So, again, you're looking at a scenario where is that what Adrian Peterson wants? Probably not. I mean, so at the end of the day, when you look at the way the Packers would use him, if let's say they bring Eddie Lacy back and had Peterson, how do you give touches on the ball? And I think it would be a limited Adrian Peterson role at that point. By no means do I think you bring Adrian Peterson back as a feature back. I don't want that, but I wouldn't mind having him on the roster with what he can do. Like you said, at 32, a lot of mileage on the leg. And I'm taking, you know, the off-the-field issues and I'm putting them out of the discussion as the football player and what he would mean to Green Bay there. But if you gave him, you know, touches that allowed him to keep his body, I think he could do some good things in an offensive game plan for the Green Bay Packers. I don't think you make him a featured running back, though, nor is that what I want the Green Bay Packers to do, because you also have to look at the long term. That this would not be a long-term solution. Now, Julius Peppers, we thought, was just a couple-year thing, too, and look what happened to Mr. Peppers. It's like he found – I'll tell you this, Evan, these old guys, Woodson, Peppers, they find the fountain of youth in Green Bay. They get rejuvenated, and all of a sudden they play for more years than people give them credit for. I'm not saying that would happen with Adrian Peterson, but Charles Woodson, Julius Peppers came to Green Bay, and all of a sudden – you know, they don't look as old as they are on paper. But I will tell you this. I don't want the Packers to go after Adrian Peterson to make him the featured back. But I would not have a problem if it worked out where you could bring Peterson in at a limited role, give him some touches. I think he still has a little bit left in the tank where he could be a very valuable asset to Green Bay when it comes to offensive game planning. So that's my quick thought there.
And I just don't think he fits Green Bay, especially with the offensive line the Packers have. They're not really a grinder offensive line, especially if they do let T.J. Lane go. You know, I just don't think he really fits what Green Bay wants to do running the football. You know, he doesn't catch the ball in the backfield very well. He doesn't pick – there's a blitz pickup guy very well. You know, he's just a downhill runner, so pretty much. He has a really good cutback. So some possible destinations that are being thrown out there is the New York Giants, who just released Rashad Jennings to save some money under the cap. So there's a possibility he could go there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Doug Martin's a free agent, and they just have Jaquez Rodgers on their Jaquez Rodgers is a free agent, and Doug Martin has a $7 million cap hit, which also he violated performance-enhancing drug tests last season. So that's a question mark. Houston Texans are being brought up as a possibility, but the Texans have Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue on their roster, two young backs who can pretty much carry the load there. The Dallas Cowboys came up, and the reason why the Texans and the Cowboys get brought up because Peterson is a Texas native, and he lives in Houston during the offseason. But in Dallas, you'd have to take a backseat to Ezekiel Elliott. And Elliott's being investigated by the NFL into a domestic violence allegation. So he could face a suspension. So that could be an option there, too. The Broncos, who have T.J. Anderson coming off a knee injury, and Devontae Booker, who only had 612 season last year. And then New England, you know, New England seemed to be in there with every older veteran out there. The Garrett Blunt's a free agent. Then they got Deion Lewis and James White. They're more speed guy. He's not a guy that can carry the load, not that Peterson can anymore. And then Green Bay comes up as well. So out of those teams, I think Dallas and the Giants, to me, probably make the most sense because in Dallas, he'd be playing for a potential Super Bowl contender, and he wouldn't be carrying the load. He would be backing off Ezekiel Elliott, and that would be a very dangerous 1-2 punch out in Dallas. So, you know, moving on really quick. Next, Jimmy Garoppolo. As I said, former NFL general manager and current NFL Network analyst Charlie Casserly put out in his latest mock draft, he has the Cleveland Browns trading their number 12 pick overall to the New England Patriots for Jimmy Garoppolo. And the reason why he says is because Garoppolo is a better option than every quarterback in the draft. A better option than Deshaun Watson, who I think is the best quarterback in the draft. I think he has a ton of upside. He seems like a tireless worker. You got Mitch Trubisky, who is only really had one started 1 year. And from what I hear about him, Charlie, he's pretty much Blaine Gabbert, but he's going to need some time to sit on the bench and learn. And Deshaun Kizer, quarterback from Notre Dame, and he said that Garoppolo is a better option due to the fact that he's got some starting experience in the NFL, which I don't necessarily disagree with that. But the thing is, anytime you're looking at a quarterback, look at the Texans last year with Brock Osweiler. They bring Osweiler into a new system, and Osweiler struggled to learn, an experienced quarterback too with that, 7 career starts, and he struggled to pick up the Texans offense, and he's been a disaster so far. Matt Flynn has one strong, great game in Green Bay, goes to Seattle, and he doesn't really last there at all. And, then a guy by the name of Russell Wilson took the job and ran with him. So, yes, Garoppolo, meaning he's been in the NFL and the Patriots system for 3 years, he might be a better option on paper than these guys. But there's just a lot of question marks when you take, when you're taking a guy who's unproven like Garoppolo and plugging him into a new offense, new coach, new surroundings, new scenery, and all that. So, to me, you're taking a big risk either way. So what are your thoughts? Is Garoppolo a better option? I know this year's quarterback class is not very good, but is Garoppolo really a better option?
Well, let's put it this way. If you're going to go quarterback, yes. I really believe so. It's not a strong quarterback class. It's not one of those classes where you're going real deep and, outside of Deshaun Watson and it can even be questioned, is Deshaun Watson ready to start in the NFL in year one? What the Cleveland Browns would get, Evan, is, they're going to roll the dice either way, right? If they want quarterback, you're going to bring in a rookie, and depending on what you have there, is that rookie going to be able to start? If you trade the pick for Garoppolo, you have a guy that did start for New England this year, did okay. He's a guy that is very valued in the Patriot system, according to, everything that I've read and looked at, is that, he's a guy that is a very viable backup behind Tom Brady, and they like him there. But you know how New England operates. They don't feel anybody's bigger than the organization, so if they can get value on a they'll deal him out. And for Cleveland, if that's what they wanted to do, if they're definitely saying we need to get the quarterback, whether it be draft pick or trade the pick for Garoppolo, I would trade the pick for Garoppolo. It's not a strong draft class, and like you said, you're gambling either way. Garoppolo is not a proven commodity. He's not even a proven commodity as much as Osweiler was, if you think about it, Evan. But, you are rolling the dice, and it's Cleveland. They can never get that quarterback situation right. They never can. And so where are they going to go with this? I mean, if I'm Cleveland, I might think about trading down. You got so many holes to fill on a very young team. And at some, like I said, I'm a big believer in Hugh Jackson to be able to build a foundation. And you build a foundation with draft picks and young guys. I mean, I know you at some point got to get a quarterback, but when you look at it, is Garoppolo the answer? So we'll just go with that thought. Is he the answer? Well, you don't know. But he does have NFL experience. Are any of these quarterbacks in the draft the answer? There's no – again, if you're going to sit around and wait for a Peyton Manning or an Andrew Luck, you can't even say Aaron Rodgers really either, Evan, because of where he's going in the draft. But do you have that blue-chip guy – that is pretty much guaranteed that he's going to have a stellar NFL career in this draft? No, you don't. And you don't have it in Jimmy Garoppolo. So when you look at Cleveland, it's at some point, yeah, they need to get a quarterback, but you're also looking at you try to keep gambling on the quarterback, because when you do that, you keep setting your franchise back because of all the draft picks that you've overlooked that can be very good players in other areas. And they have so many holes to fill that I think they need to try and rethink this. Instead of gambling on quarterbacks and putting yourself way behind the eight ball because quarterback doesn't work out, keep getting players to foundation. And I don't want to say that you sit there and just wait and wait and wait. I mean, sometimes you've got to take that gamble. But they've already tried this quarterback thing so many times, and every time it's a bust, you look at all of the great players that could have been building a foundation. And there's no surefire quarterback that I look at as a franchise guy that Cleveland can go out and get. You know, could it be Garoppolo? It could be. But again, like you said, he's an unproven guy. But based on projections and based on what he's done so far, is he worth the risk? I would say he could be worth the risk. Hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, and the point I'm making, and I think you pretty much hit on exactly, is either one is a risk, a big risk. Both quarterbacks are inexperienced in the NFL, and look at Matt Castle when he left New England system. He struggled outside of that system. So, we'll see if Garoppolo can survive. And if I'm New England, why trade? Brady's 41. We're going to be at 40 or 40, or something, whatever age Brady is. He's older. He's an older quarterback. And let me look up his 39. So he's going to be 40 in August. He's going to be 40. And a lot of times quarterbacks, they fall off a cliff out of the blue. They just fall off a cliff. Father Time's undefeated. He always ends up winning. So, Brady likely only has one or two years left. If I'm the Patriots, I try anything I can to keep him around, because, he could be that heir to Brady's he could be heir to the Patriots quarterback position. So I just keep, like I said, I just keep him around as long as I can, unless you get blown away by an offer. Then you can move it. So finally, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but the talks are coming around. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, MMA star and boxing, retired, air quote, boxing star. For whatever reason, talking continues about them fighting, continues to circulate around. Will they fight? Why should they fight? Let them fight. And the thing is, I have a couple things. I'm not huge in the boxing. I'm going to be honest right there. I'm not a huge boxing guy. But I do know this. Boxing and MMA, two completely different sports. I don't understand why people want to see Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight. And unless they want to see Floyd Mayweather get the crap kicked out of him, or Conor McGregor get the crap kicked out of him. Because both of them are kind of, let's be honest here, assholes. Let's be completely honest. Both of them are kind of assholes. But the thing is, I don't want to see that fight. That's going to be a horrible fight, in my opinion. At the end of the day, it's going to be a bad fight. And who wants to pay the money for that? And will the fight happen? Probably. It's going to happen eventually. Floyd Mayweather Jr., his native language is money. He talks money. Why do you think it took so long for him to finally fight Manny Pacquiao? The money wasn't right. Plus, he wanted Manny Pacquiao to age a little bit more. But overall, the money was not right. He waited until the money was right, then he finally fought Manny Pacquiao. The same thing's going to happen if these guys fight. He's going to wait till the money is right, and that's when you're going to see it happen. Conor McGregor also happens to speak money as well. So if you get the money right, Charlie, they will fight. And at the end of the day, though, I ain't going to watch it. I'll just watch it on Facebook Live the next day, because somebody's going to record it via Facebook Live. But what are your thoughts? Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather Jr., do you really want to see those two fight?
I don't care. But I'm going to touch on a point that you said. Who's going to pay to watch this fight? Millions. Millions of people will pay to watch this fight.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, so I look at it from this standpoint. This is what I see here. You've got two guys that are, you know, like you said, it's about the money. McGregor's about, you know, he always wants to have that respect and the money part of it. Mayweather, same thing. It's egotistical. These guys are near the top of each of their respective sports. It's almost like a little gang war in the playground. Like you got the guys playing basketball over on one side of the court, and then you got the guys playing hockey on the other side of the court. And it's almost like that group wants to prove they're tougher than the other group because they're both looked at as the bullies on the playground, but they're in different sports. And now it's like they want to prove that I'm the big bully on the playground. But I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to harm myself unless you give me the green, because I've got to get something out of this. And to be honest, Evan, if it's a boxing match, which it's supposed to be, I got to put my money in Mayweather's corner. MMA and boxing are two different sports. There's some boxing and punching that goes on in MMA, but when you look at Conor McGregor and then you look at Mayweather, Mayweather's trained his whole life to be a boxer. You put Mayweather into the octagon, he gets his butt kicked. You put McGregor into the ring, maybe there's a chance. He's a guy that's probably just going to go out and go for the knockout and just punch. And as a person that used to watch boxing, I don't watch much of it anymore, but the guys that are there for just a big knockout punch, they make themselves susceptible to getting knocked out themselves because they're just going for the big kill punch. And what happens is they open themselves up, and then they get hit with the uppercut in the jaw, and they get knocked out. So, like you, I'm not going to pay for the fight. Now, Zach might. You know my son, Zach. He definitely will probably pay for the fight. But he could pay for it. I'm not going to watch it. I have no interest
just
in
watch
it.
Watch it on Facebook Live the next day.
Well, you know, though, Evan, you talked about it. Who's going to pay? There's going to be millions that pay. There's going to be, you know, Mayweather-McGregor parties, people getting together to have parties and spread like the Super Bowl to watch that fight. And, it comes down to promotion. It comes down to their promoters. And like you said, until the money reaches a certain point, I think the numbers right now of where they want it to be, that these guys want like $25 million just to step in to do the fight. The $25 million. It's outrageous. And so it'll happen at some point. It definitely will. As far as me on the side of, yes, I want to see it happen. No, I don't want to see it happen. I'm literally at a flat out, I don't care. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I don't either. And with that, we're about out of time. So I'm going to throw it back to you to let listeners go. Thank you for people giving us a listen on the Red Light Sports Ramble presented by The Grueling Truth. And make sure to follow me on Twitter at EvanWoodSports. Follow Troy at TroyRobert967 or at Red Light Sports. So I'm going to throw it back to you, Troy, to let the listeners go.
Yeah, we got a lot of places you can get at us. You can also get at us on Facebook. I know that The Grueling Truth does post our episode on Facebook, so make sure you find us there also. We would love to interact with our fans. As we know, the show, you're going to listen to it archived, but if you want to join us live, 11 o'clock Eastern every night, 10 o'clock Central, feel free to join us. Give us a call. Talk about sports. I mean, we can continue. I think a big topic people might want to talk about is weigh in on the McGregor-Mayweather thing. So if you have a thought on that, you know, listen in, call the show, let Evan and I know what your thoughts are. But for Evan Wachowski, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Enjoy your night, everyone. We'll get back at you tomorrow night.